The PDB is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hey there, Mike Baker here. Well, winter is in the rearview mirror, and we know what that means, right? Getting outdoors, you got more activities, more events, more socializing. So I'm asking, how's your social battery level? I mean, are you fully charged and energized, ready to go? Or are you feeling drained, tired, not up to the idea of getting out and about? Here's the thing. Therapy can provide a great boost to help you recharge those batteries. It can help you understand yourself, understand what the right amount of socializing is for you. Look, maybe you're the sort who thrives around people. That's great. Or maybe you need more alone time. Now, coming out of the winter months, it's a good time to take stock and ask yourself how you're doing. And BetterHelp is a simple, easy way to give therapy a try, to help you build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Look, therapy can help you learn positive coping skills, how to set boundaries, and how to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Baker, that's B-A-K-E-R, today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Baker.
It's December 6th. You're listening to the President's Daily Brief. I'm your host and former CIA officer, Brian Dean Wright. Your morning intel starts now. A good day to you, ladies and gentlemen. I've got two big briefs for you this morning that are shaping America and the world. First, Joe Biden announced yesterday his plans to meet with the leaders of Canada and Mexico next month. On the agenda should probably be what's happening in Central America this morning. I'll explain. Second, some updates out of Ukraine, with the big story being drone strikes hitting deep inside Russian territory. We'll talk about what it means, plus a poll showing U.S. voters are growing weary of that conflict. Later, we close out the podcast with three listener questions about the Supreme Court, student debt forgiveness, and the Twitter files. But before we get to all that, we gotta get started with this. The White House announced yesterday that Joe Biden will be traveling next month to meet with the presidents of Mexico and Canada. There's no public agenda set just yet, but you can guess that it will probably include trade, China, and illegal migration. Now, as they talk about migration, you will absolutely hear them all talk about their main focus on how to stop illegal migration, and that is addressing the root causes. And by that, I mean that they always argue that you must address things like corruption, gangs, crime, and poverty in Central America. Because if you do, at least according to their logic, you'll stop people from leaving their home countries because they won't want to leave. So, problem solved. Well, this morning we are going to talk about that, specifically if leaders in Canada, Mexico, or the United States have a realistic chance of ever seeing the root causes get fixed. And we're going to focus on two countries this morning, specifically El Salvador and Honduras, because there are some important developments happening in both of those countries this morning that help us answer that question. So let's dive into it, thinking about the root causes, and let's first start with El Salvador. Now, that country's president, a man named Nayib Bukele, he announced just last Saturday that he would deploy 10,000 security forces to a suburb of the capital city of San Salvador. And the reason is that the suburb is overrun by gangs. The suburb is called Soyapango. It's got a population of 300,000 people, and it's been under the exclusive control of two rival gangs, MS-13 and Barrio 18. So to explain how bad life has gotten in that suburb, the gangs operate a racket where they charge quote-unquote protection fees to local businessmen and even riders on buses. And if you don't pay the fees, you don't get protected. And by that, I mean protected from the very gangs asking for the fees. So yeah, it's an extortion ring, basically. And it's a big business. Upwards of hundreds of millions of dollars each year is what these gangs collect. That's according to some analysis done by the organization Insight Crime. At any rate, the deployment of these 10,000 troops is part of what the president there is calling the Territorial Control Plan. It's designed by the president to take back not only the suburb of Soyapango, but also other areas in his country that are under gang control. So he kicked off this territorial control plan last March, and slowly he's regaining the upper hand. And he's done that by arresting over 50,000 alleged gang members. And the result is, well, crime and murder rates have both fallen, and that's made him pretty popular. But did you hear me say alleged gang members? Well, that's because there's been some concerns, especially from family members of those arrested, plus human rights groups, saying that the government is arresting random people in these dragnets, and sometimes the wrong people. And that's probably true, at least in some cases, both based on my research and conversations that I've had with some old friends of mine who, they know the area, shall we say. The other thing that you should consider as we wrestle with this is that the U.S. government has previously accused El Salvador's president of having covert relationships with these gangs. In fact, apparently he and those close to him are coordinating with and even profiting from these gangs. So here's the allegation. The El Salvadorian government has struck a secret deal with senior gang leaders. So if the gangs stop killing so many people and chill out with the extortion, the president will grant certain privileges for gang members in prison and even allow some illicit activity to continue, mostly in the drug trade. In other words, folks, that is why the crime and murder rates are both falling, not because of this mass imprisonment. There's a secret deal. Well, all right. Is that true, though? Well, there is some historical precedent of secret government and gang cooperation. So I previously briefed you on this back on July 27th. Go take a listen to that brief when we're done today. But the upshot is that the U.S. government has long accused the El Salvadorian government of numerous acts of corruption, to include collaboration with gangs and cartels. In fact, the Biden administration put some of those officials on a naughty list of sorts called the Engel List that bans those folks from traveling to the United States, amongst other penalties. And on that list includes lots of folks either close to the president or members of his party. Finally, one last note of caution here, something to think about when we consider these mass arrests of gang members. A similar crackdown on gangs happened in this country about 20 years ago, resulting in about 23,000 arrests. Well, what happened was that these prisons became a new recruitment center for basically a new generation of gang members with all these arrested people. Because if you didn't join a gang like MS-13 to survive in prison, well, you died. In other words, imprisoning people eventually made this problem worse once these men got out. In fact, it's driving part of the crime and gang issue that they now face. All right, that wraps up the mess of El Salvador. Let's go to the neighboring country of Honduras. Again, thinking about whether or not we can solve these root causes all to stop illegal migration. So the president of Honduras, a woman named Castro, that's her last name, she's been dealing with these same gangs and the same violence as her neighbors in El Salvador. And as she has seen how popular that president has become with his crackdown, well, she's kind of decided to just to copy him, more or less. This past Saturday, her government announced the suspension of some constitutional rights in her country. The goal is to regain control of two parts of two main cities run by these gangs. So starting today at 6 p.m., Honduras is operating under a national security emergency that will last for 30 days. And it will be focused in certain areas of the capital, Tegucigalpa, and the northern city of San Pedro Sula. And just like in El Salvador, the president of Honduras is sending in 20,000 police officers, plus setting up roadblocks, and overall just trying to crack down on the same kinds of extortion and kidnapping and drug running seen elsewhere. And by the way, that criminality is big business. The extortion payments alone in Honduras earned those gangs in excess of $700 million annually. That's according to the local newspaper, The Herald. But just like in El Salvador, we have a corruption problem in Honduras. President Castro and her husband, who is a former president, plus members of their party, all of them face credible allegations by the U.S. government of being corrupt. Those allegations were levied this summer, which, again, I briefed you on during that 27 July brief. Definitely check that out later when we're done today. But the bottom line, my friends, is that these countries, both Honduras and El Salvador, they don't just have a gang problem or a poverty problem. Their leaders have a corruption problem. They are the corruption problem. They're also the very people who both Joe Biden and Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau are counting on to fix the root causes. Because according to those men, that's how you stop illegal migration. So with that, let's pivot from facts and data this morning to analysis and opinion. So when Joe Biden meets with the leaders of Canada and Mexico next month, we are going to hear a lot about root causes of illegal migration. We are also probably going to hear a version of this. America doesn't need to waste resources on things like building a wall or fences, they will say. Instead, we need to put those resources to work by addressing crime and gangs and poverty. So, all right, let's just say that that's true, at least for argument's sake. Well, based on this brief, now knowing about the endemic corruption of the very people who are supposed to fix all those root causes, to include collaboration with gangs themselves, so let me just ask you, how likely is it that the president of El Salvador or the president of Honduras are likely going to snuff out all that crime and gang violence and poverty? How likely is it that they will fix their countries? Because that's the basis for Joe Biden's immigration policy. It all rests on that. Because as most of us know, he doesn't want a border wall or a fence, and he largely doesn't want more border agents or more cameras and sensors, certainly not more asylum judges to quickly toss people out. And he definitely does not want more ICE agents to go around the United States and find illegals and deport them. So folks, as always, I'm going to let you decide on how likely it is that the leaders of Honduras and El Salvador will fix their countries. And by extension, if Joe Biden's immigration policy will ever work. Because that's the real issue. And it's what you ought to be wrestling with when you see Joe Biden at that leadership summit next month. With that, folks, let's take a quick break. For my paid subscribers on the Apple platform, we are going to continue in mere moments. No ads for you. For other folks, we will be back in just a couple of minutes. But either way, when we come back, one more critical piece of news for you out of Ukraine. We'll be right back.
Hollywood is under siege, covertly compromised by a global adversary. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream to the world is now making nightmares a reality. The American way of life is being censored by the Chinese Communist Party. Some films have scenes completely altered. Other films have lost their funding or been canceled altogether. Some actors have been banned from China for supporting human rights. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in exposing how the film industry gradually lost its integrity on its path to profits. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/Baker. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/BAKER.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Welcome back to the PDB. I've got one more critical piece of news for you this morning. Some important updates on the war in Ukraine. Yesterday morning, multiple drones hit two key Russian military bases deep inside that country. So one of the bases is home to strategic or nuclear capable jets. And the other base is responsible for critical air-to-air refueling capabilities. In both cases, the targeted jets have been involved in bombing runs or the launch of ballistic missiles that have hit Ukrainian targets. Now, Russian government officials have said that the damage to these jets is fairly modest, and that does appear to be true. But the biggest impact is the shock that somebody out there struck so deeply into Russian territory with these drones, even hitting Russia's nuclear strike force. Now, officially, authorities in Kiev are not taking responsibility or credit for these drone strikes, but one of President Volodymyr Zelensky's senior advisors tweeted out a pretty cheeky statement that President Vladimir Putin shouldn't be surprised when these kinds of things happen. Meanwhile, we have press reports from both European and American media outlets saying that, yes, the drones were Ukrainian and they were designed to destroy some of those jets, causing so much damage, especially to Ukraine's power sector. And to refresh our memories on that, Russia's goal is to bomb power stations throughout the country in order to freeze the Ukrainian people this winter, quite literally, and to destroy the morale of the Ukrainian troops. Well, perhaps not surprisingly then, Moscow responded to these drone strikes with, well, strikes of their own. The Kremlin said that they targeted and hit 17 locations throughout Ukraine yesterday. Authorities in Kiev say that that is largely true, although they say that they shot down 70 of the 80 missiles that the Russians fired. So let's pivot from those facts and data this morning to analysis and opinion. So for months now, the goal by the West, by countries like the United States, was to keep this fight localized. In other words, within the boundaries of Ukraine in order to keep it from spreading. That's why Joe Biden and the Pentagon have been so reluctant to give President Zelensky certain weapons with extended range. They don't want it to hit deeply into Russian territory. That could escalate. And to that point, the Wall Street Journal reported yesterday that one of those U.S. weapon systems that we've given them, well, our military actually modified those things, tweaking the software and the trucks so that they could never fire long-range rockets. Now, Ukraine has repeatedly said that they would never do such a thing. They would never use our equipment to strike into Russian territory. And all right, you know, maybe that's true, including in this case with these drone strikes. It's possible that these drones weren't ours, but it doesn't really matter. Not really. Instead, it proves the point that I've long cautioned about. Authorities in Kiev are eager to take this fight directly to the Russian homeland, to make them pay a price and feel pain, to lower the morale of the Russian people. And you know, maybe a reasonable person supports that. I mean, after all, these Russian jets and their flight crews have been blowing up Ukrainian targets for months now, to include civilians. But from the perspective of the average American, and this is, folks, the reason that you should care about this brief, this overt strike and this desire to strike inside of Russia, well, it means that the odds of escalation are growing, slowly but surely. And that will remain that way for every day and every month that this war continues. And perhaps that's why we are starting to see some growing concern amongst the American people about supporting this war in Ukraine. According to a poll released yesterday by the Chicago Council on Global Affairs, a majority of Americans still support both aid and military weaponry to Ukraine, but that support is declining. On one hand, the poll found that 65% of Americans continue to support supplying Ukraine with weapons, and about the same number, 66%, want continued economic aid as well. But Americans are now closely divided on whether Washington should support Ukraine for as long as it takes, which is something Joe Biden and his administration say frequently. So that limitless support is now down to 48% of Americans. It was at 58% in July. Also, more Americans want Joe Biden to urge Ukraine to settle for peace as soon as possible. That's at 47%, up from 38% in July. So, which camp do you fall into? Are you a fan of limitless support, or is it time for peace, especially after these drone strikes yesterday? Well, either way, it doesn't ultimately matter to me, because my job is to highlight the facts and the data, offer up some analysis. Yes, it's true. But as always, I let you decide. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we conclude your morning brief. But I've got one more thing before I let you go. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Welcome back to the PDB, folks. I've got one more thing before I let you go. Three emails this morning from listeners. First, Dave from Los Angeles wrote in about the big immigration debate at the Supreme Court that we discussed last week, December 1st, I think it was. To recap that brief, the court is debating what the word shall means. Because if shall means must do something, well, that might mean that the federal government must remove all illegal migrants. But if shall means only if you want to or you have discretion to, well, that means that the government has flexibility on which illegals to deport and how quickly. So Dave in Los Angeles wondered if shall means only if you really want to. Well, doesn't taxation law say that I shall pay my taxes this year? Because if the court rules otherwise, maybe I'm going to love this ruling. No taxes ever again because I don't want to pay it. So I love it, Dave. Always looking for the silver lining. Good for you. By the way, Jeff in Phoenix wrote in about this same issue, the word shall. So he works in law enforcement, and the word shall has a very important ramification for him when it comes to rights and responsibilities when he arrests or detains people. So this could have lots of other unexpected consequences if the Supreme Court rules that shall means, you know, if you want to. It's an excellent point, Jeff. Next, we've got Buck from somewhere in America. He wrote in about Joe Biden's $400 billion student loan debt forgiveness plan. As we discussed last week, it's currently on hold despite millions of people signing up. The Supreme Court will weigh in next June on the legality of the plan. I want to keep you posted on that, of course. But the whole conversation prompted Buck to say he'd like to suggest that we use a different term rather than debt forgiveness. Because it's really a debt transfer program, not debt forgiveness. And that's because they're transferring it to the rest of us to pay. Well, Buck, you know what? You're right. Facts support you on this one. So count me in. Debt transfer program is how I'm going to talk about that on the PDB. So finally, I've had a number of you all write in about the Twitter files. So for those folks unaware, those are internal documents from Twitter that CEO Elon Musk released last Friday night. And it showed that Twitter executives and mid-level managers were burying the Hunter Biden laptop story back during the 2020 election. And that's because they believed or they felt it was probably Russian disinformation. But it wasn't. It was real. And it still is. And on that laptop, just to remind ourselves, is overwhelming evidence that Joe Biden spoke to his son about foreign business deals and has likely profited from those deals too. Plus, he's been lying about it ever since. More on that to come, I promise. Meanwhile, and also of great importance, the Twitter files show the Twitter employees were in constant dialogue with both Trump and especially the Biden campaign during the 2020 election. And during that dialogue, Twitter officials agreed to censor the speech of various accounts after the campaigns complained. Now, details on why are just emerging, and I'm collecting all of that to figure out exactly what it says. But the bottom line is that this is absolutely an important story, both for me and for all of us. Because what we're seeing right now is that a big tech corporation squashed the speech of folks like you and I, all because some politicians and their campaigns didn't like it. And that is not how a healthy constitutional republic like ours is supposed to function. What happened, folks, was election interference, at least from my optic. So this deserves a congressional hearing and lots more sunshine that comes from good reporting on the subject. So count me in on following this story and bringing you the latest when I've got some important insights to share. And that, ladies and gentlemen, concludes your morning brief. As always, we close out the show reminding each other of why we are here, talking about our country and our world. It's the creed of every good spy and every smart American. It's from John chapter 8, verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Good day.
Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus.